Okay, so I'm going to try this one more time. Hey, Mitch, how you doing? All right. God is an awesome God. I'm learning something about this awesomeness. I'm learning the phases of it for I believe, our lives, but mine for sure. We tend to judge God's awesomeness by his manifestations. Anybody don't agree with me? Okay. We judge God's awesomeness by what he does or what we pray for, what we so-called believed, and it manifests. And we judge his awesomeness based on, or goodness, based on those things. What happened for me this week is God opened up a different understanding to me, a different realm, a different revelation. And I know he did it for me and not for y'all yet, because he liked me like that and he tell me so I could tell y'all. God said this, and I watch, you're going to go, ooh, watch. I already know when I got one of them ooh things. God is awesome. Not just in manifestation, but in revelation. See? We don't think about it like that because we always want to judge if God is moving or not based on the outcome. But the revelation before the outcome is more important, or is not just as important as the outcome. Matter of fact, the revelation before the outcome speaks to the outcome. Did I lose anyone? So we spend so much time looking for the manifestation, we miss the opportunity to commune with God and let him share revelation with us that brings or helps the manifestation. Did I lose anybody yet? Just one? I ain't just going to stop for you. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Everybody else gets it, though. But you still want me to explain, though.
Yes, yes.
Expound some of it. Spread it out a little bit. In all of your getting, get wisdom. And with that, get understanding. So God is in the wisdom business, the revelation business. He who is wise wins souls. For he who gets wisdom, wisdom shall come to you with length of days in one hand and wealth and honor in the other hand. So the key to God's victories is revelation or wisdom or insight. So when we spend time in search of a manifestation without seeking a revelation, whenever you do get a manifestation, you don't know how to keep the manifestation. And if the enemy throws one thing to throw you off track, you don't know how to get back. Because we spend too much time in search of the manifestation and not the wisdom or the revelation. What are the steps to it? And what do we do to not make this mistake again? And how do we navigate this path safely? Any video game heads in the house? Not even a little bit. Okay. Okay. Kind of. Okay, right. But if you played video games ever, even if you're not a video game head, have you ever went to a season of your life where you were really into video games that had levels? If you played that game enough, you learned how to beat it. But you keep playing it, even though you know how to beat it. Sometimes you play it just to impress people how easily you can go through the realms. If you learn the first few realms, after a certain point, the other realms are pretty much a duplicate of the same thing. You learn how to avoid the obstacles and the traps and stuff. You pretty much figure out, okay, I saw this in the first 10 levels. I know what this is, and I know how to dance around it. If your focus was always to play the last level and win the game, how far would you go? Never. Won't happen. So the key to winning is learning your way through the realms. That's what wisdom's about. So God is a God of manifestation, but first God is a God of revelation, and revelation is what opens the door to you ultimately having a manifestation in whatever you're believing for. The problem is the church keeps praying for manifestation, not revelation. So when I was talking to the Father this week, he said to me, the realm that you've been seeking me for and the realm that you've been talking to me about, thank you, it's in the area of revelation. And the reason why you're comfortable and confident of the victories that have been set before you, even in the realm of your spirit, is because the revelations to you have become so clear as to what's going on that you're already knowing what the traps, pitfalls, skips, and jumps are. You know your way through these levels. You're just expecting for the levels to open up for you so you can take them. Did I lose anybody? Okay. So, good. I'm glad. So, I thought about something. I watch now how the people that God has given me watch me. I wasn't aware of how they watch me. So when we go to events and stuff, Esther will come to me, or Nellie will come to me, and sometimes Lindsay will come to me and tell me what they saw me do that I'm not even aware that I do. So, for example, we were somewhere, and somebody came over to me, and I was talking to them and just having a general conversation, and they began to go off into some complaining about life and situations, whatever. And she said, and you just went, okay. All right, well, good seeing you. And you turned and you walked away from them. Now, it was funny because I didn't realize he went there in conversation. I totally shut down. I said, how you doing? I asked him a couple of general questions. He answered my questions. And it was something about the way his face changed. My spirit just knew he was getting ready to go somewhere that I didn't want to, and my ears shut off, and I started looking around the party and daydreaming, and all I heard was, well, it was good talking to you, good seeing you, and you take care of yourself, and I went about my business, because I blocked out all of that just naturally. I didn't even have to intentionally do it anymore. I went through a season where I had to intentionally do it, but now my spirit is just on autopilot, like, okay, you're about to talk junk, turn off. She said, then you walked over to somebody else and they begin to do something that was inappropriate, and you just kind of all of a sudden just turned your head and looked the other direction. And I said, again, not intentionally, I just saw that was something that I want to pay attention to. It didn't look right to me, and it was no sense of me even looking at it. So what I'm going to do? Look at it and then talk to you about it. Did you see what he did? Oh, that wasn't right. I don't even want to talk about it. It has nothing to do with my destiny. Right. I just saw it, and I was like, I wasn't offended. I wasn't bothered. I was just like, You listening to me? Are you listening to me? I was on a different level, and that level doesn't pertain to me. That's not what I was there for. I wasn't there to see who was doing what and acting like what and how people were behaving and what people were saying. I wasn't there to acknowledge people. Say, did you see that? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not there for that. I'm there to gain what I'm there to gain. I'm there to take in the moments that God has given me to take in. I'm walking through the level looking for the keys to get out of that level to the next level. I'm in that level to achieve something. So because I'm not planning, listening, to stay there, I don't want to spend too much time hanging around there talking about a bunch of stuff that's useless to me getting past that. It's a stop. It's a progression. But it's got to be a progression. And if I stay and unpack, it's a home. Who am I talking to right now? Who am I talking to right now? So, God is in the revelation business. So we're doing this message called Stand, and I'm seeking God on how to teach people to stand. And in the process of seeking God for revelation to teach you, God is showing me what he's already taught me. Catching that? No, let me say it again. I don't think you're caught it. You heard me, but I don't think you're caught it. God didn't get that that I get when you catch stuff. In seeking God for revelation, how to teach you how to stand, he's showing me what he's already taught me. You don't have to get it yet. Get it yet. So I'm going to flip it. In order for God to take you where he wants you to go, he has to first show you what he's already taught you. See, there you go. That's what I was waiting for that. You got it now? Your future success is based on how well you comprehended the level that he already has you on. You caught that? So in other words, why you keep saying, God, I want this, I want this, I want this, God is saying to you, okay, where are you now? And how strong are you where I have you? Because your strength to go to the next level is going to be founded on how securely you've locked down this one. So once we get into habitually doing that which is right before God and acknowledging the level that we're on, we've unpacked too many times and made it home instead of gathering up the facts that we need to go to the next level. So you can't move no matter how much you pray. Got another? Okay. It's unfolding now. Sure. Did you understand what I just said? Okay. Mike's asked me to say it again. That's why I want to make sure. Everybody caught it. Everything you need to go to the next level is in you gathering up what's on this level. And if you're if you're nesting instead of gathering, you're not moving. Is that a better way to say it? How many of you realize that where you are now, you've been nesting? Be honest. Nesting. Comfortable. This is good. And so because you're nesting, you're not going to go forward no matter how much you pray. So when God would say things to them like, prepare your provisions, or a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and when that moves, you move, and when it stops, you stop. God was establishing something. Every place you are and every place I have you is a place to gather up the information you need to go to the next level. And if he's telling them to follow a cloud by day and fire by night, that means you can't unpack too much. You're living out of a suitcase. We live in this world like we're constantly looking for the resting place when the scripture says we are sojourners. We are not permanent residents. You're ambassadors. That means we're not supposed to be unpacking anywhere. Amen. Amen. Let's see if I got some scripture for that. Because you don't have to be rich to do this. I know because I've been guilty for years. There was a man, parable Jesus tells, and he had done well. And he called his servants in. He said, listen, gather up all my stuff and put that stuff in that barn and put all that stuff there and lay everything aside for me. And then I'm going to kick my feet up and I'm going to say to my soul, eat, drink, and be merry, for you have need of nothing else. And the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, you fool, this night you're going to die. Now, who's going to have all that stuff you laid up? So you spent your whole life building and lay up stuff that you can die the next day and leave behind. So is it about the gathering or is it about the journey? Is this too deep? You're just sitting there looking at me like, say something exciting. Is it about the gathering or is it about the journey? Is it about the gathering or is it about the journey? So, but what do we really focus on, though? I'm trying to help. Now I understand why the past couple of years I've been saying, I don't really care, whatever, God. You know, it's not because I'm dissatisfied with what I have, but I came to the realization, okay, so once you get the stuff, it's just stuff. Once you get the accomplishment, it's just an accomplishment. I work with a client who has reached the level of success that she's obtained. And now she's going, now what? Now what? And I'm like, this is a good question. And now I have to go before the Lord to get that answer for you, because that's a good question. Because I came to that place many years ago. Yeah, I didn't have a platinum this or a gold that or any statues and stuff, but I had a plan of what I wanted to do once I reached that level of financial success and the things I wanted to own and the things I wanted to buy, and I had done that times three, so I was like, so what's the point? So I just get a statue now just to put it on the shelf somewhere because I already have the stuff that I want to get. See, my goal was never the awards. My goal was the stuff, and I got the stuff, so I didn't care. And I realized that I no longer had a journey. So I was rotting. Looking forward to come and share a new revelation with you every week. But feeling in myself, okay, but this is boring. And the sad thing about that is this. Are you listening to me? You sure? Can I tell you what I really want to say right now? You don't understand what it was like for me, because people look at me and consider that I've achieved something that they have not yet achieved, so therefore I should have no complaints, which I didn't. But there was a big shame factor. Are you listening? Because I wasn't satisfied, but then felt bad about not being satisfied, because I think somehow I was not being grateful. And so now I'm feeling bad about not being grateful. I should be thankful for what God gave me. I have more than anybody else has. But yet still I'm not satisfied. Somebody know what I'm talking about? If you don't, you will. Because there was a part inside of me that said, you set this level and you've achieved it. And now you're just riding it out. And God didn't call me for that. And God didn't call you for that. So I'm sitting there not wanting to complain, or so I thought it was, about the fact that my spirit was not resting. It wasn't enough. So I came to a revelation. The enough for me is not what award and how big I'm going to be and how much more money I can make. That's not what it's about. It's about what's my destiny, why did God put me here, what am I going to do? And if you don't know, that's fine, but at least keep moving until it becomes clear. Amen. If you only have pieces of it and you don't have the whole thing, start in the direction of it and the rest of it will begin to speak and clearly show itself. But you cannot get into gathering mode. Okay, that's good, Father. I didn't even think about that. God, you're so smart. Case in point of the gathering mode. Ready? The manna. What was the instruction? Take enough for today and don't hold any. And after a while, they begin to think maybe God don't know what he's talking about. And they begin to store it. And what happened to it? Turned to worms and maggots the next day. So that's proof. I didn't even think about it. Thank you, Father. I didn't even think about that. That God did not put us here to gather up worms and maggots. We're not here to nest. We're here to build and keep on moving. Last time we did it, did we do Ephesians 6? Because I lost track over the weeks of which the last verse I left you on. We did not. What did we do last? Luke 10, Luke 21. Was it Luke 21? Because I know we did Luke 21. Was that the last one we did? You have Romans? Okay, well, maybe that's what I did then. Let me see. You are correct. So Ephesians 6 is where we are now. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. And let's look at this. Let's have some fun. Ready? Let me know when you're Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to verse 10. Are we there? Finally, what's the word? What's the word?
Finally.
What's the word?
Finally.
What does finally mean? Keep on, yeah, what you're saying. After what's said and done, what else? Finally, what's finally? At the end, right? Yeah, I know you're trying to be deep and spiritual, but just think about it just in the simple terms. Finally. You get somewhere and you go, finally. Done. We're at the end. Basically, this is how we're going to cap this off. This is where we wrap this up. This is the end. I know this is weird for me to put in the middle of the message or the beginning of the message, but I want to do like the Seinfeld episode that starts from the end and keeps going back. Because I saw this word finally, and I said, okay, this is a final instruction to these people, but it's a final instruction that we can put first and then keep working toward. In other words, this finally repeats itself. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in power of his might, or in his mighty power. Put on the full, somebody say, full, what's full? Complete armor of God. That you can take a stand against the devil's schemes. So a couple of words hit me. The word finally. Not the stuff that we expect. The word finally. The word full. And the word schemes. The word schemes hit me really, really strange because schemes is not the word we usually use when we talk about the enemy. We always describe the enemy as full-on attacks, correct? We look at the enemy as really, really coming and bringing his A game and just attacking us and running us into the hole. You know, and we just got to stand and take a strong stand and just resist. And resist means hold on, just keep holding on, just keep taking those punches to the face, but don't quit. You stick in there, you know, stick in there. You don't even stick and move. You just stay there. Just take it. Take it. Be a good, strong Christian and take that whipping. And I'm not lying here. I'm telling the truth, aren't I? That's the way it's taught. That's the way we've learned. And if we're not careful, that's what we do. And that's nesting. If I sit somewhere and let you whip on me, that's nesting. If I stay in one spot while I wait for the storm to pass while you beating up on me, that's nesting. While he's scheming, I'm gathering information. Listen, let's go to the King James for a minute. You don't have to follow me, but here's the King James says, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So now it's a different word, but it's not attack still, which is the word we think of when we see that scripture. Am I wrong? That we may be able to stand against the attacks of the devil? Am I wrong? Am I saying something wrong?
No.
Okay. But here's what wiles are. Cunning arts, deceit, craft, and trickery. Sit the Bible down time. Listen to me. Put on your armor so that you see. Think about it. Stay with me. Pay attention to what I'm about to say right now. This one sentence, this one line right here, if you can get this, if you can gather this up, it can change your whole perspective on your walk, your life, and the attacks that come at you. It says finally, that means it must be important. Correct? So we're going to take the final understanding, and then we're going to work backwards through it. Is that okay? Do you love your pastor?
Yes.
I'm not playing today. I'm coming with some good stuff. We're in gathering mode. Look at somebody and say, we're not nesting anymore. Ready? When we think of armor, we think of battle. So we need the shield, because bullets and weapons and swords and coming and helmets and all this stuff. And we break down this whole armor of all the sword and feet, shard, and the belt of breastplate of righteousness, and the loins girded with truth. And we go through all this. And so we thinking, oh man, here we go. And you're armoring up against tricks and deception and bullcrap. So you're getting ready to fight a fight that's just smoke and mirrors. Did you see that? It's tricks. It's politics. It's deception. Ta-da! And there's nothing really there. So basically, we're getting ready. We're putting all our energy into fighting something that's just a trick. Does scripture support what I'm saying? I had this conversation several times this week. And in the end, when Satan is bought out and changed, how many of you know where I'm going? Just one? Somebody look up that verse so we can tell them exactly where it is. In the end, at the end of all time, when Satan is brought out in chains, the nations will look upon him and go, is this the one that made the nations tremble? Is this who we feared? That means when they finally see Satan in his real form, they're going to go, this little monkey, this roach? This is what we were scared of? This is what we ran around trying to go through all of these defense mechanisms and defenses and protecting this and all that. And this is it? It's almost a statement of embarrassment and shame. Like, we allowed this thing to run the nations? This powerless, defeated foe that sits back in the room doing politics and making you think you got a battle on your hand where it's just trickery, mind games, deceptions. It don't feel like that when I see these attacks. I see la. Okay, well, keep focusing on that and keep getting more of it. Because you only draw into you what you've given him permission to do. It's a process. You'll figure it out. But it says, put on this armor so that you can stand against the arts, cunning arts. Do you know what that is? Deceit, craft, trickery. How many of you have been putting on your armor to stand against that? No, you haven't. You've been putting on your armor to fight against the attacks of the devil. You haven't been looking at it as illusions. Am I losing people? Is this too deep? Too much? Because you're just looking at me blank. How many of you don't agree with what I'm saying? Tell me why you don't agree. So how is that? So how does that make what I'm saying incorrect?
Because we said that we're plotting, that we are
Right. Okay. Oh, so you don't agree because you don't see it that way. You see it the way I'm explaining it. Oh, so then you do agree then. You just, got you. I have to understand, it's good. We get to have these kind of dialogues, it's important. We're agreeing on the point. What you're disagreeing with is saying that you actually approach it from the point of actually seeing him as powerful and bringing real attacks. You don't see him that way. You see him as trickery, is what you're saying. You've accepted that as a truth. Amen. That's good. How many people else in here could say that? And there's times that you've come to me with your emotions all on your sleeve about situations, and you clearly have been deceived into believing that the attack is more than what it is. So even though you know that truth, you still find yourself at times succumbing to the trickery, don't you? We all do. This message is to help us stop doing that. This message is not to tell you, you see what you do wrong? I don't do that because I'm better than you. I'm telling you that I've come to the revelation that these are the things that we focus on, and we spend our times fighting a fight that doesn't exist. So, with that said, we're talking about something that, well, I don't have to tell you Satan is the father of lies. You know that. I don't have to tell you that everything he conjures up against you is more to get you to bow to it than it is the power that he actually has to do stuff. Did you get that? Everybody got that? His attacks are designed to get you to submit so that he can fulfill them. They're really not power that he has to do stuff. He has to get me to believe before he can achieve. You know, he has to sell me that. He has to convince me that I lost in order for me to lose. He has to convince me that I'm weak in order for him to show himself strong. It's trickery. It's magic tricks. It's like the guy downtown doing the 3-card thing. No, that's a good way to put it. It's a scheme. I know it. I've done it. I made money. I didn't play it, but I played it on people. I used to be the guy doing the cards. Yeah, I know how to flip them and do the crip and bend them and all that kind of tricky stuff. I know how to do it. Mitchell taught me how to do it. I learned how to do it. I went downtown, and I was making money doing it. You know I was making money? Because people were deceived into believing that they can actually make money off of what they saw me doing. Because we had the guy that we called the stick man, and he got up there and he won a couple of hands. So they believed, well, he won. And if you had a good stick man, your stick man said to the people in the crowd, I know what he's doing. I figured it out. And they all, I'm going to bet with you. And then they all get in, and they, come on, yeah, let's come on, we could get him. I already got it. I know what he's doing. And then they all throw their money in with him, and then I accidentally make them lose. And he loses this hand. Stick man all of a sudden lost. He was doing great. He was winning almost every other hand. But this time that he got everybody else in, he gives me the look, and then he loses. And he goes, oh, man, and everybody lost, but he's with me. My point is, the deception was to make you believe that you had an opportunity to win something that you absolutely had no opportunity to win. Or to convince you that you lost something that you actually did not lose. So, it's a scheme or a con. But people are sucked in if you can make them believe that what you're showing them is more powerful than what it really is. Say that one more time. People are sucked in because you are able to make them believe that what you're showing them is way more powerful than what it really is. Ponzi schemes work the same in the area of mega millions and billions of dollars. It's convincing you that you gave me a million today, and in 3 weeks I gave you $1.5 million, see? Now put $5 million in and watch what's going to happen with that. Yeah, you ain't going to get nothing. Right? That's the way it is. So Satan's thing is, I'm going to show you this scheme, and I'm going to get you to buy into it, and I'm going to get you frustrated and annoyed or whatever, and then I'm going to show you a fake deliverance, and then you're going to feel free enough to commit your whole self to this lie, and then I'm going to slam you. But I'm going to let you fake win a little bit. Or I'm going to put my stick man there, and I'm going to let you see them supposedly win so that you follow them. And he's part of it, or she's part of it, and then when she loses, she looks at you and goes, "Aw, man, I thought we had it." It's a scheme. Satan beats us with schemes, not with power. There is no fight. He can't beat us, and he knows it. Now, you're not hearing me. I want to get into this armor, but it's just like, you're just so square right now. He can't beat you. Why don't you say that? Say it like say it until you know it. He can't. You have the victory in Christ. You are more than conquerors. You already won. There is no battle to fight. Christ won for you. In his name you win. There is no battle. So he has to trick you into believing there is one and bait you into a fight that you to make you think you could win, that you shouldn't even be in the first place because there is no fight. And then you lose that fight because it ain't a fight in the first place. Right. He's got a lot of stick men and stick women that they're working with him to lure you into that contest with the thoughts that if you do it this way, we could probably win. Because I know my uncle's cousin's sister's brother who did it, and they did real good. So then you try to fight the God's wars with the enemy's weapons. I had this guy who would say to me, he used to say this to me, and it used to amaze me. I used to listen to him. And he used to tell me how the enemy would attack him, like mess with things in his house, and stuff would move, and stuff like this, and bad dreams. And he said, and he would wake up in the middle of the night and say to Satan, "You get the F out of my house." And he really believed that that was working. And I said, let me make sure I understand. So you beating him with his weapons. You talking about you cussed the devil out. With anger and frustration, "You better get the F out of my house." And he really believed because it would stop. Stick man. So he really believes, I'm making progress here. I just tell the devil to get the F out of my house, shut the F up, and all this kind of stuff, and cuss him out. And I said to him, "But you realize you're trying to beat him in his realm. That's not authority. Were you threatening him? So you think you scare him? Would you pull your gun out? Like, really? Like, what? Do you really think that's winning?" He insisted that it was. It looked like it was for a long time. Then it boomeranged back. And his cussing and everything didn't work no more. And when it boomeranged back, it boomeranged to his health, his sight, his everything, his business. It just came back like, I'm like, "So, did you say get the F out?" I didn't say that to him because I felt kind of sad at that moment. But it kind of like my thought was, he didn't listen to get the F out this time? Because I haven't seen that scripture. So he lured him in emotionally. Did you catch what I just said? That's why I say to you all the time, I stand back now and I wait. I don't want to respond. So I'm sure that my emotions are out of it. Because I know if I respond with my emotions, I'm being lured in. It's a scheme. I'm being tricked. So I'm learning now. Stay back. Be still. Be quiet. Listen close. If you listen close, you'll hear what's happening around you in conversation in the spirit. that nobody's hearing but you. You catching that? How many of you know me to do that and seen me do it? And well, I'm gonna mess with that if I was you. Yeah, I know, but you don't understand. Okay. You know, that's the new me. Okay. Let me know how it works. I already know how it works. I already know you're gonna come back and tell me I'm right, or you're not gonna tell me nothing. You're gonna keep it to yourself, but I'm still gonna be right. Because God is right. I'm looking past the immediate, and I'm looking into the scheme. I know where you're going to end up. I know the outcome. There's things I see I don't say. I'll give hints. And you'll say to me, I knew you knew. Like, yeah. I see what I see. Our eyes have to go further than what's immediately in front of us in this three-dimensional world. Our ears got to hear deeper than what's right in front of us. Our heart and our emotions, God, cannot be controlled by this realm. If it is, you're nesting. Got it? So let's get back to this armor. We understand now that we're putting on this armor to fight against trickery, not against a real battle. Are we clear on that now?
Yes.
Are we clear on that?
Yes.
Did that help somebody understand this better?
Yes.
The devil is not coming at you with a real army and power. Let me say that one more time. Look in my face. The devil is not coming at you with real power. He's coming at you with trickery and deception. Are we clear on that?
Yes.
Are we clear on that?
Yes.
The battle is not with real guns and bullets. It's with tricks to lure you in to put you in front of real guns and bullets. But it's not real until you buy it. It's trickery. It's not a fact until you accept it. Then he'll get you there fighting with some cop in the street and you get shot. They out to kill us. Okay? I had to stop speaking that. I'm like, dude, you've been here 6 years. Ain't none of them ever killed you. You gonna now speak till you bring one of them in your path. You need to be speaking them away from everything. Instead of getting bitter, we need to speak the anointing where God reveals the situation and clears it up. And so, that's how Martin Luther King, he got out there and he marched. You got to pray. And then you got to have a battle plan. You can't sit there just getting on Facebook and posting these and sharing these stupid videos over and over again, weakening the society that's already weakened and making people look at that over and over. Now that they're expecting it, now they pull you over, you're already thinking you're dead and you're already confessing it and believing it and bringing it to yourself. You don't want to have this kind of conversation. We need to stop speaking death over our youth. I said, oh my God, this new thing is crazy. I'm concerned about my son. I'm concerned about my grandkids. They might get killed. And I'm like, whoa. And I saw this word, the wiles. I said, wow, you buying into that? So now you're going to get to the place where that's what you're expecting? Bible says we won't stand in the presence of mean and obscure people. I believe if anybody pulls my family over, they're going to be nice and honorable and good and righteous people.
Amen. Amen.
I believe if my grandson gets pulled over, he's going to give him a ticket to his party. I believe for favor like that.
Amen.
No, I'm not going to. But do you see how that can easily translate?
Yeah.
Now you're thinking that. Now you're speaking that. Now you're having that conversation with all your friends. I'm scared for my kid's life nowadays. And all of a sudden you invited something in through that trickery to your life now. And when it happens, it's like the thing that I've greatly expected, Job, has come unto me. Are you catching this?
Yes.
Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. it's a war against trickery. You're arming up against trickery. So before we get into the armor, I'm going to ask a question, and I want you to think about this question. And this is a very good question, because I know it's a good question because God gave it to me, but it's a very good question, and I want you to think about it, okay? So if we're arming ourselves against a battle that's really all about trickery, smoke and mirrors, and deception, what should our weapons look like then? Think about it. Hold on a minute. I don't want you to answer yet. If we're fighting a battle against deception and trickery, as we begin to go through this armor, I want you to begin to think about this armor and what these weapons then would be used for. Who are these weapons really for? And what are their real intended purposes if what you're fighting is an illusion? Where's the real battlefield then? You said it. Wait a minute, I don't want anybody to answer you. I just want you to think about it. Because sometimes you just start throwing spiritual lines out at me trying to sound deep and spiritual. I don't want to hear no spiritual mumble jumble bullcrap. I want you to really, in practical reason, think about this in your heart. Let the Lord reveal to you. We just realized that it's the wiles of the devil. The scripture says it is clear. It's trickery. It's deception. It's illusion. There's no real army. There is no spoon. It's fake. But yet the word is telling us to arm and be prepared. So what are arming and being prepared for? Where is the real battle then? Who is the real enemy? Yes, Sister Linda, you about to pop. Go ahead. Excellent. Who else? There's more. But you're spot on. But I want to keep expanding it. Go ahead. Lindsay? The weapons are for the people in the earth. He told you to put on the armor. He didn't tell you to put it on them. For them. That's an interesting take. You put on the armor to protect them. That's an interesting take. Celine and then Marianne. See, you hear what she said? And that's what you were going to say? There's the battle. The battle's in you. And Edward said the same thing. She pointed to her head. The battle then is a battle of spirit. So what she said, the lack of knowledge, lack of wisdom. The battle is not knowing. The battle is coming against that which seems to be versus what is. Think about this. When Satan came at Jesus, Satan came to him and he approached him from the point of his soul, his mind, his flesh. He didn't come in the garden and start punching him around, smacking him around the garden. The demons knew better than that. They saw him coming. They said, hey, what are you here to torment us? They knew what was up. So Satan knew what was up. If he had the power to just do that, he was just done it. Soon as he found that he was, take him out. He knew he couldn't. He tried to stir people up to it, and they couldn't do it. So after he tried throwing them off the cliff, you got to read the Bible, it's in there. And he just disappeared and walked right through all of them. All of a sudden, we're like, where'd he go? We was going to throw him off the cliff, and he's gone. So my question is, answer it, and your statements are correct. The battle is in the mind. He said, wait a minute. You have the authority, and the only way to beat you is to convince you you don't. The only way to beat you is to convince you that you have to gain this authority, even though you're saved. Come on now. There's something you got to do to be better in order for you to be able to put me down, because I'm the devil and I got power and you got to come against my power. And this is clearly saying, no, it's just tricks. It's tricks. So The key is in the mind, because if he can convince us in our mind, our soulish realm, that he has authority that we have to take. Let me say that again. If he can convince us in the soulish realm, in our minds, that he has something that we have to conquer, then we're always fighting to win something that already belongs to us. You can't win something that's already in your closet. You didn't catch that, huh? Some of you caught it, some of you didn't. You're fighting for a trophy that God already put in the closet for you. It's yours already. You have it. It's yours. So what are you fighting for then if you already have it? When you get to the end of that journey, there's going to be nothing there but a big disappointment bowl, because you already have what you're fighting for. So the real weapons that we're going to now break down, he's talking about you walking in, as Sis said, the knowledge and the wisdom of what he's already purchased for you. You're not fighting to gain, you're fighting for revelation of what is. That's why I said the truth of this word is not what you manifest, but the revelation. The revelation is more powerful than manifestation, because then you realize you have stuff that you've been praying for and crying for every night. So if I can keep you distracted in this realm, you'll never see that. And you'll never have it. If I can keep you distracted with my wiles and tricks, I'll get you to give up something that's already yours and then have you praying for something that you already have. Think about this. The people, let's go back to the three card Monty people. They walk up to people and they sacrifice what they already have in hopes of getting something else. It's true. That's the trick. That's what gambling is, isn't it? You play what you have against odds of having something else. Instead of saying, I already have this $100. This is mine. Why am I going to risk it? Now I know some of you are saying, I go to the casino and I don't really get into it like that. I come in there, I have my little $20, and I just have my fun. When that's gone, that's gone. I'm not talking about those kind of people. You come in and have some fun. Hey, if you put $20 down, you get $1,000 or a couple of $100, whatever. If you got $1 million and you say, hey, it's all about levels. I got $1 million. Hey, I got 20 that I could play with. Then that's fine. I'm talking about those people who really think they're life-changing status gonna come for them sitting at these wheels all day. So your hope is in you beating these odds, not in the fact that Jesus already beat them for you. So here's what I'm doing. I'm setting a precedent today. We're going to get into the armor next week, because we're only down to the last 5 minutes, and I don't want to start something like that and can't finish it, because that's some heavy stuff. So here's what I want you to think about during the course of this week, which I'm sure you will. Your battle in your armor, which we're going to see when we get to this, is not about the physical realm. It's against your own mind believing sucker stories. You got that? It ends, even though I'm giving you the kind of the ending before, after he breaks it down, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He says that. This three-dimensional realm is not it. It's not even your own flesh and blood. It's your own thinking process. Is your own belief that you've lost something that you never lost, or you don't have something that you already have, or a promise that God made doesn't exist. And let me bring it home for you. You listening? Nothing has changed from the beginning of time. How did he trick Adam and Eve? By convincing them something that they had they did not have. He knows that if you eat of this tree, you should be like God. So that's why you should eat of it. And he convinced them to do something to gain something that they already had. And in the process, they gambled their 20 and they lost it. They already had the money. What you need to gamble it for? But they gambled it, hoping that they would get more. It was three card money. It's no different than what Adam and Eve suffered in the garden. 10 to get you 20. 20 to get you 40. 50 will get you 100. I bet you could get more knowledge, though. Yeah, but do you have the real knowledge, though? Bet right here, you're going to get that knowledge. All right, let's try that. Oops, sorry, you lost. Now what you have, you lost. Now you forfeited the wisdom and knowledge you already had. Because you got to give up what you believe to take on something else that somebody gives you to believe. You got to surrender your truth to take somebody else's. Even on the good side. You got to surrender what you believe now about your battle to receive what I'm saying. You got to give that up. You can't say, now I hear what he's saying, but sometimes you still got to fight the devil. Just stay over there, fight him then. Don't even play, because it ain't going to work like that. You have to surrender the truth that you have to receive the truth. You got it? So, he got them to surrender their truth with his trickery to gain his truth that was smoke and mirrors. How many of you can look at your life and say, yeah, I can see a lot of areas where the enemy did that. My life is filled with those areas. But they're being cleaned out one by one. We got a cleaning crew. We got the dumpster outside, and we're taking all that junk and we're tossing it, because I've spent too much time being bamboozled into surrendering what I have or working for something that God already paid for me. Amen. Father, I come before you today on behalf of your people, those watching online, those who are sitting here. And we ask that you open up our eyes, you open up our spirits, you open up our minds to the truths that make us free. Father God, we will just realize that revelation is the key to manifestation and not the other way around. Father, so many of us are saying, well, I know God is moving, and based on some revelation, some manifestation, they'll try to build a revelation off the manifestation instead of receiving a revelation first and then letting it turn into a manifestation. We ask you to forgive us for being out of balance, and we ask you to help us get into the place that you've called us to be. Bless our minds, our hearts. I come against all the frustrations and the tensions that may be trying to sit on anybody in this room right now and anybody watching. And I say, Father God, let peace come to them, that they can see clear. Make all of the noises shut up and be quiet just long enough for them to hear the simple instruction of your voice and be at peace. We know that we don't have to bow to these lies. We know we don't. But we do, and we don't want to do it anymore. So we surrender from the works of our hands, and we surrender to the works of your spirit. And we trust that by that wisdom and by that direction, we see all things clearly. And we do have all things that pertain to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. This day forward, I speak peace to begin to manifest in each and every person's life in here. Every noisy and disturbing spirit, we command you to shut up and be quiet right now. And we command you to be quiet. And we command you to go away. Go out from them. Anybody that's going through any kind of mental and emotional torment, we take authority over it right now. We speak peace. We command that peace to be so. And for those who receive it, we say it's theirs. And Father God, that we see clear, we see past what's right in front of us, and we're seeing the full picture. We see what you're doing, and it is good. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.